This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go, Nation. Welcome back. Time for the C-Note Cowboys News of the Evening, brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. With Franklin Frankel, there's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. We're talking Cowboys quarterback. I think it's fascinating in a lot of ways. But with Cooper Rush leaving for Baltimore, puts a higher premium on the idea of finding your next backup quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So who the Cowboys need to draft. I found a guy, Brian.
And who you got?
Well, I do need to tell you, by finding a guy, I just mean that I read about him a little bit. I watched some highlight videos. So
Scout Gavin got on him yet?
Well, I mean, I did watch some highlight videos, and that's as most as Scout Gavin does.
All right.
But I wanted to get your thoughts on him. I know you haven't watched all the quarterbacks yet, but just a guy to put on the radar.
Sure.
Let me paint you a picture of Curtis Rourke at Indiana. He's coming off an ACL.
Yeah.
But a big guy, accurate arm, good decision-making, had a lot of touchdowns, not many picks. He's just not an athlete or an improv guy, you know, so he's kind of stuck in the pocket. But, man, watching him play, it just seems like we're in a pretty pro-style offense, and he can really throw it around the yard well. The stats match up. Obviously, the highlights are going to make him look good, so I can't wait for your critiques.
Yeah, no, I've done a lot of work with Big Ten football, and you know, Indiana was one of those teams that got into the playoffs, had a heck of a run. Went to Notre Dame, got beat. But, yeah, when you watch opponents that play Indiana's offense, this kid, you're right. I mean, he's one of those guys that stand in there, make a tough throw. He was accurate throwing the football. I just, there were times I was like, you're watching these quarterbacks, it's like, oh, that was a good throw. You're not really studying him, but you're noticing the plays they're making. And he was one of those guys I kind of felt like, as I got to him, might be like a third or fourth round guy.
Yeah.
That's what
he read like to me. Dude is not going to be there in the fifth round.
Yeah, no, this is not going to be, I don't think this is going to be one of these, this might be a day two guy.
Okay.
When you're looking at things, like a second or not, maybe not maybe so much a second round, but a third round guy. I would be kind of mindful of that.
And that's rich, I think, for a lot of people. It comes down to, okay, we got the situation where Dak's going to be 32 years old. He's coming off another significant injury. Last year didn't look good even before the injury. So do you want to put the best possible team around him, or would you want to take an opportunity with one of your first three picks to possibly find a guy that you could, you know, turn into the starter in the next 1 to 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think there's some value there. At 12, it really starts to make me go, oh, geez, it better be a player we love. And in the second round, similar type of deal. You need a good wide receiver and running back, really. And I think you need another left tackle. They're not going to do that. But with a new wide receiver and running back, you could at least be more explosive. But in round three, Chief, I'm interested.
Yeah, I mean, I get it if there's a guy that you really love, but I do think it's kind of a luxury pick, and they're not at the portion of their team building where they have luxuries. They have still so many holes that need to be filled right now. You spent this money on the quarterback. You married this guy. Don't start hedging now. I would save the hedging for next year. Not to say you don't take a quarterback
with
at
the
all.
Injury? Then doesn't it change a little bit with the injury, the avulsion fracture? Could further slow him down.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
that's...
it's awful early in the contract. It's just starting.
Right, right.
And you don't really have an out. But, I mean, if there's a player that you feel like this guy is going to be an NFL starter, I think at round three, I like it. In the first round, I'm with you. Like, hey, we need to find a badass player, because if he does stay healthy, then Dak Prescott can still have one of the best five quarterback seasons out there in the NFL. Chase Daniel on Twitter, reacting to an Ian Rappaport tweet about Stephen Jones saying they need a backup quarterback, he points to Jalen Milrow, Bama, Colin McCord, Syracuse. Our guys at Pro Football Network did a little bit of a write-up on it that I can work off of and ask you guys some questions. But it kind of comes down to, what do you want, upside, or do you want a floor? Because Milrow being a freakish athlete, to me, is exciting. If this guy is a day three pick, first round skill set with fifth round tape, said one scouting report about him. Yeah. Glimpses of elite accuracy, gives him an extremely high ceiling, breakaway speed and arm strength, lack of consistency, lack of accuracy, and then McCord, who's the decision maker without any tools. So which one of those would you prefer in the fifth round, Brian?
Give me the guy that's the athlete. You know, I not that I could teach him to be a better passer or anything like that, but his ability to make plays with his feet, I watched him just carve up my alma mater at LSU, and it was the read option stuff. It was very similar to watching, and this is going to sound really funny and strange, it was very similar to watching Dak play LSU when he was at Mississippi State and he ran for like 300 yards. Hmm. And the ball was going all over the place with the accuracy or lack of, but there was that ability to run and make plays. And this guy, you probably need to, you're probably going to have to work with him and hope that it works out, but you cannot teach that athletic ability that he has. It's rare. There's things you could do with him just as a ball carrier, running quarterback, put him as a back in the backfield, throw him the ball. I mean, he there's a lot of things you take him to the game that you surely can try and make work.
I would think between what Schottenheimer did with Russell Wilson in Seattle, with what Clayton Adams did in Arizona, Connor Riley at Kansas State, like, you give me a blazing game-breaking quarterback, you know, just give me sufficient passing. I'd be excited about that. Like, what could this possibly turn into if you had a Milrow and a star young running back?
Man, I think he's one of those guys that probably still needs plenty of development.
There's, from
a passing standpoint. Yeah, he's got a cannon arm. But the command of it with the accuracy and whatnot.
He doesn't know where it's going to go. He has no clue.
But he is a guy with, if you have a creative enough head coach, that you can get something out of him from the jump because of the athleticism factor. I mean, he really does. Well, you catch him in the open field and you think this is one of those five-star Alabama running backs that is going in the first round.
Yeah.
He's so big and so fast. Like, there has to be a secondary option for, hey, if we go 3 or 4 years developing him and he's not getting it, this is one of those dudes that could probably play another position.
Yeah, he is that special. You know, I don't know. It'd be interesting if you had a really good offensive line, a great running back, and him without being able to throw it. You're zigging when the rest of the league is zagging. You could win games like that.
You can win regular season games like that. Your ceiling is brought down because the health factor, being able to do that consistently, and once you get certain things on tape and now teams start forcing you out of your tendencies with a quarterback who doesn't know where the ball's going when he throws, it would be a lot to ask.
Okay, the other player mentioned here as like a day three kind of guy in a lot of these stories is Dylan Gabriel, the quarterback from Oregon. I don't know. I
very short
at 5'11", Brian. I'm out.
Yeah,
you know, I think I finally joined you over there. I was intrigued by the Baker Mayfields and Kyler Murrays and some of the shorter guys. and I'm impressed with what both those guys have done, but I just don't, you'll never get elite. When I'm taking a quarterback, I want to have a chance to have the best player at that position in the history of the game. I don't think that can be a 5'11 guy.
If you could put together this player and the player we just previously talked about, you'd have the first overall pick.
Yeah.
Because the one thing that Dylan Gabriel is super accurate. And maybe there'll be some comparisons to his height with you see with like what Drew Brees was able to do. Because of how accurate, and that's what made Drew Brees such a great player, is how accurate he was throwing the football. And so you'll get those types of comparisons. But, man, this guy, I mean, he is, when you watch him play, he has to move to throw the football. He can't just sit in the middle. Now, he'll drop back and let it fly on a quick throw to the outside or a hitch or something like that. But if he's going to have to work the ball down the field, he has to slide a little bit right or left to kind of find some space and lanes to be able to hit guys on the move.
I mean, it's just so difficult. You know, I guess if a guy like that gets to the NFL and he's having success somewhere and
he
I need
so
a quarterback,
I mean,
I would take him.
Yeah.
But I'm not betting on that being successful out of college.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, he will throw a very pretty ball, you know, and you can watch him. He's been three different schools.
Okay.
And so you can kind of get an idea of like different receivers he's worked with. I know Tez Johnson at Oregon, who we're all watching, is, you know, extremely an explosive player, getting the ball to these guys on the move, you know, and not having these guys break stride. He's just short. That's the biggest issue with him is, but everything else is pretty solid.
Okay, you got Paris Campbell coming aboard, second rounder for the Colts in 2019. Another bustola for the Cowboys. They, you know, had a situation at Ohio State where, from what I can gather, very elementary role that he was able to exploit for big time plays, but it was a very limited role and a undeveloped route tree, and even inside that, his routes were bad. And that's why, even though he had such a great final season at Ohio State, he was still just a second rounder with an amazing combine. But I guess the hope here, Brian, is that maybe the injuries prevented his development, and if he can stay healthy here and you could scheme him open into space, he could help your offense somehow?
Yeah, this is just a guy that's going to compete.
Yeah,
it's a veteran guy that's going to maybe you'll get something out of this. I think all these moves that they've made is not keeping me at all from drafting somebody in this thing. So I think this was more about a competitive situation than it was a guy that's going to come here and beat Tolbert or one of those guys out for a position.
All right. So we'll hope for the best there, but I still think Cowboys need to do something unexpected or we'll be drafting a wide receiver in the first two rounds.
I think they could absolutely be drafting a wide receiver.
Are we done in free agency, you think, at this point? What are you hearing? What's the buzz?
I have not heard much about it because I did ask the question of what was the question I asked about? Oh, geez. The Trey Lance, and that's the last thing I've asked about. And is the Trey Lance ship sailed? And I got, don't know. So,
well, if there's not a market for him, I mean, the signings are going to be around $1 million or $2 million at this point. I think bringing him back as your backup and then taking a quarterback day three probably makes the most sense at this point. And you hope, you know, Dak comes back and your left tackle plays a lot better next year and you can enjoy, you know, the final half decade of Dak's career with what I would expect at that point to be solid offense if you can get those things to fall in place. Blogging the Boys, Sean Martin has a story. Cowboys would be wise to follow the subtle advice from Zach Martin about young linemen and balancing the offense. Martin, I came into a perfect situation. The running game was a big part of what we did. It really allowed me to develop a lot of young linemen, get thrown into the fire, throwing the ball 50 times a game. We were running it 30 to 40 times a game. It allowed to develop some of those things I wasn't great at when I first got here. Yeah, I think that's huge. Terrence Steele, better in the run game. You'll be better at right tackle. Your guards are going to produce better in the run game than they have in the pass game. And beyond that, you got to run these defenses into more favorable looks for Prescott. That's been the problem for a number of years. And when this offensive line started to age and deteriorate, I've been banging that drum for a long time. You're just not going to get great efficient play against quality defense, I think, with this quarterback. I don't know why it's taken so long. I still don't think they're fully acknowledging it, Chief.
No, it's taken. I mean, they're always late to the party on a lot of this stuff. So it's no surprise. But hopefully, with at least the coaching staff, they've now built a staff out that definitely has that vision.
You're right. This coaching staff is exciting. You know, the roster might not be there this year. It might take a while. You know, this kind of reminds me of 2011 through 2013, where their team building was just to try to give them a shot at making the playoffs, play relevant football games. But it took them from 2010, when they drafted Dez, until 2014, when they got Zach Martin, to totally transition, right? It took them 4 or 5 years, and Jason Garrett was in charge. At least at this point, I think by the time you get there, you might have a coaching staff that complements it quite well and is actively giving you an advantage on game day, maybe for the first time in 20 years around these parts, yeah, Brian.
Far too long.